Lovely to be here again this evening. I wonder if you're a patient person by nature. A while ago, a church down near Llandysil rang me up and asked, would I go and preach for them on the subject of patience? And I said, I can't come this year or next year, maybe the year after or the year after that. I was joking, of course. I did go and preach about patience, but it challenged me. Because I realized as I looked at patience in the Bible that I wasn't a very patient person. And that's why I think probably Mark's gospel is one of my favorite gospels, because you don't have to wait around in Mark's gospel. The action happens one thing after another. All the time, if you read Mark's gospel, it says at once this happened, and then immediately this happened, and then the next thing. There's no waiting around in between time there. Even this bit we've got today, we've got the word, I think, immediately happens twice, the word at once. It all happens really quickly in this one, which is a great thing in here. And I like it particularly, the evening service plans. The clergy will know this, have running times on them to make sure that we keep to time. How about that, eh? And there's a clock here to watch me. So this is even good to look at Mark's gospel, because we can say immediately and then move on to the next thing and get on to the next thing quickly. Looking at the service plan, actually, it's very good service plan tonight, because the service plan lists who's doing what. It says who's preaching, who's leading the worship, who's doing everything like that. And there's a nice gap, because no one's filled in who was doing sound tonight. So instead of saying sound and then a person's name and then the preacher, it says sound preacher Mark. And I think that is really good. If only had vision as well, then I might be a really good preacher, mightn't I? To be sound and vision as well. So without further ado then, because our time is going, let's pray and then look at this passage together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will open your word to us this evening. Teach us deep truths. May we learn from you and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So Mark is nice and fast in telling this story. There's a sense of urgency, quickness in the story, but he also likes to play around a little bit with his readers in here, and suspense comes in here. We know the end, we've read the whole thing, but imagine reading for this for the first time. And one way Mark plays around today, we get a story within a story. So Mark, as he's telling here, starts the story of Jairus, the synagogue leader or synagogue ruler. Urgent request, quick, come, my daughter is dying. You have to come, Jesus, straight away. And we read that Jesus sets off with him. And then, as often happens, something happens. And we have another event. And all the time, Jairus must be there thinking, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Does it matter that someone's touched your clothes? Why? Come on, come on, hurry up. This is a need. We need to move on. We get going. He's getting impatient. His daughter is dying and needs Jesus to go and heal her. But we know the end. We know that it all's for God's glory to be revealed even more. And Jesus waits until the girl has died and then brings her back to life. So we're going to look at that. I'm going to draw out 4 points. And if you go to any other church, they'll either have 4 points beginning with the same letter of the alphabet, or they go here, 4 points beginning A, B, C, D. And nobody ever chooses the other letters of the alphabet, do they? So I like to do things differently. So tonight's 4 points, W, X, Y, and Z, just to do something a bit different. And they're all in the passage, as you'll see as we come along. So 4 easy things to remember, W, Y, X, and Z. And we'll go through. Let's have a look. I'll start with W. What we've got here, we get Jesus here, and he gets this thing going on between Jairus, who's saying, come with me, and this woman who touches him. And we've got this double you. Do I deal with you or you? Who do I deal with first? Because there are 2 things going on here. This woman has touched him, and power's gone out of him. And then Jairus saying, come on, probably almost pulling Jesus, saying, come on, we haven't got time for bother with that woman now. We've got to get my daughter sorted. And this is Jesus. Do I deal with you or you? The double you. And this is so good, because life, I don't know about you, but life doesn't tend to happen sequentially, does it? Things all happen together. If you think logically, it's parallel rather than series. You don't have one disaster and then a break and then another one and then another one. It's not like, oh, my washing machine breaks 1 week and then there's a few weeks later and then a pet is ill, and then someone else in the family is ill 2 weeks later, and then you have to take exams the week after, and then your car breaks down. No, it all seems to happen together, doesn't it? It certainly does in my life anyway. You get all of these things, and they're happening together on top of one another. You can't deal with one thing because there's something else you've got to sort out, and then somebody else you need to sort out about that. And it all happens together. And here's Jesus in exactly the same situation. We often picture Jesus as being calmly dealing with things. We imagine him almost sometimes there, and it's very British. There's a queue of people in a line waiting to see Jesus, and he deals with one of them and prays for them, and they go away healed, and who's next, please? And you sort of imagine it happening like that. It was here in this passage in Mark's Gospel, we've got how it was really like, that actually they were all shouting and clamoring for his attention, saying that their bit was the most important, and lots of people coming to him at the same time. And it wasn't that nice, orderly queue, as we like to sometimes picture. A few weeks ago, I stopped off in Lampeter. I'd heard that it was a really good chip shop there, and I can recommend it. And it was really good because of one particular exciting thing. It's very busy. So you go in there and you place your order, and then they give you a ticket with a number on it. It's a little raffle ticket. I think mine was 376. Shows how many customers they'd had that day. And then you go and stand around the shop and realize there's a whole crowd of people there, and you wait for your number to be called. It's very exciting. It's like you've won then when you go through. And then your order is ready. It's all very nice and ordered. But it wasn't like that for Jesus. And it's not like that often in our lives. There's lots of things, I'm sure, in your life as we look ahead to this year, clamoring for your attention. What should you be concentrating on? So many things clamoring for your attention. It was here the same for Jesus. Do I deal with you or you? Do I deal with this or that? What is it? Well, God can deal with all of us at once. He sees the bigger picture, but it's hard for us when several things happen at once. And we often need God's guidance. What to deal with, how to cope when it's all happening together. There's almost two opposing truths happen as well here. When it gets really busy in your life and it's completely chaotic, you could say God won't judge you if you skip the prayer meeting, if you don't have time for your morning Bible study. He understands. But also, those are the times when you get strength to cope with all that's going on. Those sort of opposing truths coming on, and you need wisdom from God, from his Holy Spirit, how to deal with it all when it's all happening. Just like it is in the chaos of this story. And when Jesus has got lots going on, it's not just Jairus and this woman, the disciples are weighing in here, and the crowd are, it's all happening. A large crowd followed, pressed round him. Imagine that, they're not in a neat queue in front of him, are they? They're all around, all trying to talk, all trying to get his attention. And it's like that in our lives. We need to pray, to ask God to give us strength and wisdom when it's all happening in our lives, so we can decide between you and you. And it's that double U in your life, which one you need to choose between this or that. What do I do first? We pray and ask for God's wisdom. Here, Jesus, of course, gets it right. God always gets it right. So that's where we look for wisdom. So that's our double U, you or you. The X reminds us God acts often only when it's extreme. If Jesus had gone straight away to heal Jairus' daughter, it would have been a miracle, but it would have been a smaller miracle. Less glory to God. Jairus had his faith tested to the limit. Don't bother Jesus anymore, they said to him. Often when you're at rock bottom, that's when God chooses to act. I was a teacher for many years, and my specialist subject, if you like, was mathematics. And one of the things I would do with my classes, teach the whole class strategies for coping when you couldn't do a difficult sum. When you're faced with all those questions and you're not quite sure what to do and how to tackle it, and I would give them strategies, and they would write a list of things that they could do. You could ask a friend for help. You could look at examples in the workbook. There are all sorts of things that you could do to try and solve it. But if they really couldn't do it, if they'd exhausted all of the strategies, then they could ask the teacher. We often have to learn lessons as the children of God. We try and solve things ourselves, develop coping strategies. But when we really can't do it, when things are extreme, when we have exhausted everything, we can call to God and he comes to the rescue. And often we leave it too late to do. We leave it to the last thing to do. If we have a headache, do we take a tablet? And then if it doesn't work, then we pray? Or do we pray first and only then take a tablet if we don't get a prayer? Which order do you deal with things in? Is it this or that? How do we do it? When do we involve God in things? So often we try and solve things in our own way. And really we should start by going to God first, even though sometimes you have to wait till it's quite extreme or God tests your faith until the end. I think I've shared this story before, but one of the things that I did here when I was a church administrator was to take the St. Michael's Church minibus to Inislas, a lovely place. I was there again last week. Very nice. But here's a warning. Don't drive too near to the water's edge because the sand is very soft, particularly if you're driving a big, heavy minibus, because that sinks quite quickly in the sand when the tide is coming in, as I found out when I borrowed the St. Michael's minibus and took it out there. I thought, no problem, I can free it. Just need to dig a bit of sand out from the wheels, isn't it? I'll try it. No, that didn't work. It's easy, just put it into reverse and we'll come back. No, that didn't. That just made the hole bigger and bigger. The tide was coming in. What do I do? Finally, when I was exhausted, all of my possibilities, then I prayed. And yes, a man came with a tractor and a tow rope, and he rescued our church minibus, which was a really good answer to prayer. But it was getting pretty extreme. The tide was coming in, and I wasn't sure how to explain to the rector that the church minibus was under the sea off the coast of Inislas. We often lay to the last minute, don't we? And then we pray. So let's call in God early. But realize and be aware that he may not act until things have got desperate. That X, when it appears things have become extreme, that's often when God will step in. And it's always in his time, not in ours. So that's W, extreme. Why? And this is in the passage, verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? That's our why. Why bother? Your daughter's dead. Don't bother with Jesus. Why bother him anymore? There's some people like that today. They say, my life is a big enough mess already. Why bother with Jesus? There's no hope, no future. This is too big for God to do. Some people say, don't bother with God. This is not for him. Maybe he'll help with some stuff in my life, but I don't want him telling me about this part. I want to make some of my own decisions. I want to decide how I spend my money, what I do in my spare time. I'll come to church on Sunday, we say, but the rest of the week is mine, thank you. No, this is all wrong, isn't it? Why bother with Jesus? There is nothing that is too big or too small that God can't get involved in. The Bible teaches us he wants a relationship with us to help us in the big things, when it gets extreme and we really can't cope, and in the small things, to make sure that they don't go wrong and lead to big things. God wants to be involved in your life. Maybe you're here tonight, you're not sure about this God person, and other people come up to you with the same message that Jairus heard. Why bother with Jesus? That's what Jairus said. Maybe people say that. Why bother? Your life is busy enough already. But stick with God. Because for Jairus, the story doesn't end there. So W, X for extreme. Y, why bother? Z, what are we going to do with Z? Well, we're going to look at, in the passage, what Jesus said. As a child, I had the words of Jesus from Mark 36, engraved on a plaque on my bedroom wall. Something I'd inherited from my grandparents, so it's a very old plaque. It's still there. Don't be afraid, just believe. What amazing words. It's lovely growing up with those words on my wall. Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Maybe it's like that for you. You're praying for a healing, for a change in your circumstances, an improvement in something that's not going well for you at the moment. Jairus asked Jesus. Jesus delayed. His daughter died. And even when we pray, we see sometimes some things get worse. But what does Jesus say? Don't be afraid. You might see things going wrong and see things getting worse here, but don't be afraid. Just believe. Have faith that God knows best. Trust in him. He knows what's best in the long run. He can see the eternal perspective. It's not an easy lesson, but it's a choice between two. These words of Jesus, don't be afraid, just believe. You think about those, fear or faith. That's the choice, fear or faith. And those two things are mutually exclusive. You can't do one without losing the other, one or the other. You have to choose between the two, fear or faith. You can't have both. Which one would you prefer to choose? Many of you know I enjoy playing table tennis. And on Tuesday nights, you'll find me in Tregaron Table Tennis Club playing table tennis. But annoyingly, sometimes people organise church meetings on a Tuesday night. And then I have this thing of what do I do? Do I go to the church because I'm the vicar and I ought to be there? Or do I go and play table tennis? And I had to choose. And if I don't go to play table tennis, all the people in my table tennis club say, where were you last week? Were you at one of those church things again? You should be here playing table tennis with us. And I have to choose because the two things are mutually exclusive. I can't be in Aberystwyth here doing something and I can't be in Tregaron playing table tennis at the same time. I have to choose one or the other. Fear or faith? Don't be afraid. Just believe. Which are you going to choose? Fear or faith? Faith has got so much to be said for it. Look at else what Jesus said or said in this passage. He said to the woman, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Daughter, he called her tenderly, your faith has healed you. What amazing words for us tonight. Maybe you're suffering today. Maybe you're worried about something that's coming up this year. Worried about how you're going to cope. It's our choice. Are you going to be faithful or fearful for this year? Listen to what Jesus is saying. Don't be afraid. Just believe. Listen to what he said to the woman. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering. If that is challenging you tonight, we've got a prayer ministry team in our next section of worship. And at the end of the service, we'll be around to pray for you if you want ministry, if you want to experience that, to be set free from fear in your life, to choose faith rather than fear. So W, X, Y, and Z, four points. But Jesus, well, he spans the whole alphabet, doesn't he? There's lots more we can go. He is the Alpha and the Omega, if we choose the Greek. Our God has the power to intervene. And tonight we choose for this new year to come. We choose as a church and as individuals to trust in him. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example of Jesus' healing that we heard read to us and we read in our Bibles. We thank you that you answer us when we call to you. Thank you that you are there for us. We pray that you will help us to learn to turn to you when problems arise. We pray for your heavenly wisdom and guidance when life is so full of difficulties that we cannot see the way ahead. We pray throughout this year that you will help us to increase our faith and trust in you, and that this year we may never fear, but always believe. This we ask for your glory, and in the name of Jesus, our healer. Amen.